All right. Well, thank you very much. I'd like to acknowledge Cotton Incorporated, who provided funding for this project. And what I'm reporting on this morning is work that's being done by the Cotton Incorporated Economics and Conservation Tillage Work Group, with all the individuals listed there on the slide from Tennessee, University of Arkansas, Mississippi State, Texas A&M, and LSU. And as everybody knows, there's been a lot of discussion about all the problems that are related to weed resistance, both in cotton and other crops. And of particular concern to the Economics of Conservation Tillage Work Group is the potential impacts that this might have on use of no tillage and conservation tillage practices. And so we thought that there was a need to document the extent of the problem, the potential economic impacts that are with that, and what farmers are doing to combat the problem. And so we laid out three basic research objectives to look at assessing the extent of weed resistance in cotton production, and then look at the changes in cotton farmers' use of conservation tillage, weed control, and other production practices in response to weed resistance, and then evaluate what impact that's had on total cost of weed control for farmers. And to accomplish those objectives, we put together a mail survey of 2,500 randomly selected farmers that we mailed out during February and March of 2012. And we used a weighted sampling procedure to select counties to be included in the survey. And it was based on distance away and the number of farmers and the acres of cotton from the counties that first reported weed resistance that we could determine in both the popular and research literature. And those three kind of epicenter points were in Tennessee, North Carolina, and Georgia. And so the weighting procedure that we used to select farmers for the survey had heavier weights for counties that were close to these epicenters and having larger cotton acres and more cotton producers. We got back about 309 usable surveys for a response rate of about 13%. It's a small sample, so you know we have to be careful about the types of inferences we make, but we think that there's some potentially very interesting information about how farmers are responding to the herbicide resistance, or weed resistance, I should say. And let's get right to the results. We asked farmers in the survey if resistant weeds had been identified on their farm. And in our sample, about 7 out of 10 farmers indicated that they had one or more resistant weeds. We then asked them to tell us what those weeds were, and we went ahead and categorized them in very general categories. And I think, as you would expect, about 6 in 10 of the answers that we got were related to pigweed, about a quarter were related to horseweed, and then the balance were in other weeds, and that would have been primarily ragweed, field bindweed, or some other name variation of those weeds. This map here shows the counties that we sampled in the survey, and then the different colors of brown represents sample weights that help determine the probability of selection there. And then the blue indicates the counties where farmers reported that they had pigweed resistance. And I think the main thing I want you to take away from this is that we were picking up the farmers in those epicenter areas, but we also found that some farmers out in Texas were reporting that they had some kind of pigweed resistance. This graph here tells us, or is about, when farmers indicated to us the year in which they first had pigweed resistance on their farm. And so we have two things in the chart. Brown area there represents the number of new infections or number of reported cases within our sample of 171 for pigweed. And then we have the cumulative distribution of reports that they gave us. And so the peak of new instances occurred around 2008-2009. Did the same thing for horseweed. We had a smaller number of farmers reporting horseweed resistance. Again, they were pretty much centered around the two epicenters in West Tennessee and North Carolina. But we did have a few reported instances, again, out in West Texas. Again, in our sample, we asked them, what year they first observed it. And again, this peaked in about 2008-2009 and started to level off for them. So it gives you kind of a feel of what the progression was for farmers. We also asked farmers who helped them to identify resistant to herbicides, I should say. And we had 197 farmers that answered that question. They could give more than one answer. We gave them categories, so that's why we had 357 answers. And the most frequent answer was crop consultants, followed by chemical fertilizer dealers and extension. We then asked them who helped them develop a plan to manage weed resistance. Again, we had 197 farmers that answered. They could give more than one answer, so we had a 387 total. And the order shifted here. The top category was chemical fertilizer dealers, followed by extension, and then crop scouts. This graph here reports, what kind of practices that they use to manage weed resistance. And we gave them a whole bunch of choices that they could check off. They also could write down things if they didn't have it on there. And so we had 197 farmers that reported. We had a total of 1,156 answers. The blue bar graph there gives the top 10 practices. And so 9 of 10 farmers out of that 197 had hand hoeing. So they relied pretty heavily on labor-intensive practices. We went ahead and categorized that into four different categories: labor-intensive, what we call cultural, and then chemical and mechanical and tillage. And so 41% of the answers they gave we classified as labor-intensive. The next most frequently listed kind of practice that they gave were cultural, which could be, using more crop rotations, more cover crops would be examples of that. And then to a lesser extent, they reported using chemical or mechanical tillage types of practices. We were interested in how farmers changed their tillage practices. And so we asked them what they were doing before and after for no-till, reduced-till, and tillage. And we placed a confidence interval, even though it's a small sample, we placed a confidence interval around what they did before and then looked to see if the after was different. And for the no-till category, it appeared that there was a change, that they were reducing their use of no-till. We also asked farmers about their use of cotton cultivars before and after. And so we had Roundup Ready, Liberty Link, Wide Strike, and Conventional. And we saw significant changes in each category for before and after, except in the conventional category. The basic story here is that they tended to reduce their use of Roundup Ready type cotton, and we're going more to Wide Strike and Liberty Link cotton. We asked farmers to rank the effectiveness of the management strategies that they used. had 186 farmers who answered this. About 63% of farmers out of the 186 rated their practices as being effective or very effective. So it appeared that they thought that they were being successful, on average, with their practices. And then finally, we asked farmers in the sample to tell us how they thought their total weed control costs changed from before resistance and then after resistance. And we defined for them total weed control pretty widely, not only including chemicals and machinery, but also other things such as tillage, labor, type practices and whatever. And it appears that there is a shift upward in costs for farmers. They indicated before resistance, about 48% of the farmers indicated that they had weed control costs of $50 or more per acre. And I should mention the first category, 0 to 39 on the horizontal axis, should be 0 to 49. Made a mistake and didn't catch it. But then after weed resistance, 92% of the farmers said that they had weed control costs of $50 or greater. And so there appeared to be a very definite shift up in cost of weed control for farmers. So just to summarize, pigweed was the most frequently cited problem by farmers. The newly observed instances within the sample for both pigweed and horseweed peaked in the 2008-2009 period. Farmers in the sample relied pretty heavily on labor practices such as hand hoeing and field scouting, but also relied pretty heavily on cultural practices. It looked like farmers in the sample reduced their use of no-tillage and Roundup Ready Flex cotton, and farmers saw a shift in their total cost of weed control, or at least they perceived a shift upward in their total cost of weed control, with about double the number of farmers thinking that their weed control costs were $50 or greater with weed after weed resistance as compared to before weed resistance. And with that, I'll try and answer any questions.
I'm just curious, and I'm trying to get out of my lead, but I know there's a couple new herbicide systems coming on as well, involving 2,4-D tolerant cotton. I'm wondering, any of those guys prefer kind of forecast hay over to this or that new system, or do they, if they were on delivery, they would have last spring as alternatives?
I'm sorry.
Any sort of technology better than pipeline?
We just asked them about what they were doing. We didn't really, one of the questions we did ask is, are you changing your chemistry program? But that didn't come to the top as part of the practices that they mentioned. Yes?
Just a quick calculation question. I know we did it, but, you got that distribution there, but you didn't report the mean. Was there any significant difference in the mean? Cost there. I mean, I know the distribution says it would look like that you have 92% on the right tail versus 48%. But I just did you calculate that and see if it was significant?
Not for that particular one. Okay. We also asked, and I did show it, for farmers that didn't have weed or reported that they didn't think they had weed resistance, and we had, I can't remember, I think it was 93. And we did try comparing that distribution with the before and after, but we couldn't really find any significant differences. I didn't know, what the utility would be of comparing, the same people's answers before and after, so we didn't. But it's something we could consider doing.
So So I understand that people that did not have weed resistance, or that they did not really change their practices to help steward it.
Well, what we asked them also about their weed control practices, their weed control costs. You know, we didn't go into a detailed listing of what they did. They listed their costs as higher than the before, but we couldn't find any real significant difference between that group and the other group.
And maybe changing some things they need to prevent it happening on their part.
All right, thank you very much, Jim.